Blog Talk Radio.
Still here, yes I am, y'all.
time. So good to support me.
Any time.
But I feel you now. Do it all.
Just like I knew. Strong, where it leads, oh my Lord. On-time God, yes, he is. He might not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God, yes, he is. We just thank the Lord this morning. We got a different kind of message for you this morning as the Lord has given us utterance. We want to come out this morning and talk about there are satanic deceptions in the church. That's what we want to talk about this morning. There are satanic deceptions in the church. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, this morning for what you have given us, what you allow us to see. in the spiritual realm. Lord, we ask, O God, that you would use us today as the very oracles of heaven here on earth, O God, that our mouth would be your mouth, our eyes would be your eyes, our ears would be your ears, Lord, our hands and feet, everything that we have be yours to use this morning, O God. We submit to you and to your will this morning. God, we ask that you allow us to decrease that you might increase. And Father, let the words that I speak be clear and understanding to those that hear, those that are listening, O God, near and far, in the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, let your word do what only your word can do, Lord. Bring change, bring healing, bring deliverance, bring restoration in the hearts and minds of your people, O God. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' holy name, we have prayed. We're talking about the satanic deceptions in the church. And you know, I always say the church of men, because the church of God doesn't have any satanic deceptions. The church of God is anointed, appointed, and approved by God to do God's work. And the church of God is not a church that is deceptive. It's not a church that is going to, that is trying to rob people out of their earnings. It's not a church that's trying to deceive people into sexual favors and all that type of stuff. They're not a conspicuous church, if I pronounce the word correctly. It's not a church that is doing things on the hand. Let's make it clear like that. God's church is a church that is pure, it's holy. It's a church that's walking right before the presence of God. It may be poor, but it's rich in the spirit. Hallelujah. Here in the book of Matthew, let's go to the first scripture. In the book of Matthew, Jesus speaks clearly. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 and verse 25. Jesus is speaking. If it's in your Bible in red, that means it's Jesus. If it's not in red, it still means it's Jesus, because he speaks from Genesis to Revelation. It's still Jesus speaking. He says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Even those that God has chosen, if it was possible, Jesus is saying they would be deceived. If it were possible. You see, the ones that he has chosen, that know without a shadow of doubt that God has chosen them, they have searched the word. They are searching the word of God for the truth of God. So it's very hard for the false prophets and false teachers and false preachers to deceive them, because these that God has chosen are listening for the word. They are searching the word daily, like the Berean church. So when they hear something that's not the truth, they know it's not of God's word. You cannot deceive them. It's impossible. He said, if it were possible, that means it's impossible. If it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. Jesus went on and said, "Behold, I have told you before." In other words, he said, "Look, I'm telling you that when these things happen, you would be prepared. You would be already prepared." In the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, we're talking about there are satanic deceptions in the church. Not one, many deceptions. Some folk are telling you that we need money to build a roof. And it goes for up 10 years and it's still raising money to build the same roof. How many roofs you can put on one building? You have folk tell you, well, we have to replace the siding on the building. And you seeing the siding going up, maybe sometimes some of them no siding goes up. They're just raising money. Raising money and spending money, but nothing is happening to the building. You know, they say, well, we got to get a new furnace. And every so often they got to call the technician because the furnace is breaking down. Why? Because they're not putting in the furnace. They're using the money for their own doings. You understand? So he said to us today, there are satanic deceptions in the church. And what is God saying to us? It happened in Jesus' time, so it's no doubt that it's happening in our time. But folk don't want you to teach this kind of messages because they say you're coming against the church. No, you're not coming against the church. What you are doing is opening the eyes and the ears of the church so the church can hear what these false prophets and false teachers are saying. This is what Jesus said. He said, behold, I have told you before. In other words, he said, I have already prepared you for the stuff that's happening right now. This is what Jesus says. This is what David Campbell says. It's right here in the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and 25. We're talking about the satanic deceptions in the churches. And we seem like we don't see and we don't hear. The things are happening all around us, and we're acting like we are deaf and that we're blind. You know, we are being bamboozled. Because he said that we can't be deceived. Those of us that are called, that is appointed and approved by God, cannot be deceived. He said, if it were possible, that means it's impossible to deceive the ones that are studying this word, because we are so in love with Jesus, because he first loved us, that we are searching the word every day, like Paul said in 2 Timothy. We are searching this word. We are studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, right dividing the word of truth. We are studying this word every day. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Why? Because when we go to these places to support other leaders, we want to know that they are teaching us the truth, because we don't know it all. We know some, but we don't know it all. So we need, here in Revelation chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. My God, I'm excited already on this word. I'm excited. He said, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceived those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now he's telling you, Jesus is saying to us, where the Apostle John is writing, that this false prophets, they're going to do signs and wonders. Now this is talking about Satan and the beast and all of his agents. But the false prophets are agents of Satan. You have the apostle there from South Africa that is telling you, was on YouTube, making a lot of videos, going all over the world, exposing false prophets. And he said, you know what, I was a false prophet before. I came to understand and know Jesus as Lord and Savior of my soul. He said, before I was so focused on getting money, making money, that I went down to Nigeria to meet the people that could give you the power. I went to the water to see the demons coming up out of the water. He said, I met a half rock, half crocodile, and a half man, a demon that came up out of the water. You people, sometimes we sit around and we don't believe these things are happening. God already told you these things going to happen. This is satanic power, because folk don't want to depend and trust Jesus to bless them. They want to have this and have that, because they want to show people things. But God has blessed me because I have four houses. I have a five-car garage house. I got two swimming pools. I have my own yacht. I have my own plane. They think that that's blessing. What about have peace in your soul? What about being able to lay down and don't have to keep looking at the window, thinking somebody going to come through the window? What about being have that peace that surpasses all understanding? That's blessings. You can't purchase that. It has to come from God. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7. I'm glad you say that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 and 23. We're talking about their satanic powers, satanic deceptions, the powers that are in the house. Folk are going and selling their soul to the devil because they want to work magic in God's house. That's why we lost so many pastors last year, and we're losing a lot this year, and bishops and apostles, and false apostles, and false prophets, and they're dying this year, and more going to die next year too. Because why? They're not trusting God to carry them, to lead them, to shepherd them, to give them what they need to feed his people. They want to go to the devil and give their soul to Satan and even sacrifice some of their own children and grandchildren because they want power. Power belongs to God. The Bible says all honor, all power, all glory belongs to him. That's what the Bible says. But we want to run off because we want the people to give us accolades. Because why? I laid hands on the blind and the eyes open. I laid hands on the deaf and ears. I was unstopped. I touched the mouth of the dumb and it began to speak. But it's not me making them speak. It's not you making them speak. It's the power of God that passing through you. You're a conduit. You're a conduit to the kingdom. And he works right through you. So right through us so people can be healed. But what happened is we want to act like it's us. So no, we can't allow God to work through us. We'll go to Satan so Satan can give us some power. And we testify that we are these great prophets, these great apostles, these great bishops and all this stuff. And then Satan comes one day and says, look, I want your son. I want your granddaughter. I want your grandchild. I want your great-grandchild. I need some blood because Satan going to require blood. He does everything. He tried to copy Jesus. He needs blood. The Father needed blood. Jesus had to shed his blood at the cross. Satan needs blood too. Believe it or not, he needs blood too. He'll let you go for free for a while. He'll let you go for a while. And you feel that you're doing well because you're laying hands and stuff is happening. Money's falling you down, running you down. You can't get the money to the bank fast enough. Satan got money coming to you. But then he's going to come and say, look, I require your soul. I require your soul. God wants us to live holy. He requires our soul to live holy. That's all he requires us to follow the manuscript. Here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, Jesus is speaking. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in that day, and in that night, scripture, let me read it again. Glass is fogging up. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonders, wonderful works? Asking Jesus a question. Like Jesus don't see what and don't know what's already happening in the earth, what has already been done. He knows the end before the beginning. But here these false prophets that live this deceitful lifestyle, deceiving God's people, not going to come on judgment day before God and telling him what they have done, asking him a question. Didn't you see us when we were working on the altar using satanic power? And what did Jesus say? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Jesus dismissed them. In other words, they did not have interest in the kingdom. If we operate under the satanic realm and the satanic utterance, we will not enter in the kingdom. We are only going to look good in the season that we are in here in this earth realm for mankind. But when we come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we will not be able to enter. We will not be allowed to enter into his rest, into his peace. Talking about there are satanic deceptions in the church. And my main scripture is Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 and 25. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. We got a lot of scriptures to give. I'm going to do part two of this if I don't get through it today. It says, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse, thank you, Brother Deacon. We Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1 to 5. See, this thing didn't just begin yesterday. You know, I don't understand how preachers that say they're called by Jesus, called by the Lord, is afraid to hear the truth. They say they want you to talk about prosperity and talk about mending marriages and calling kids back home from out of this place and that place. But we don't want to expose the false prophets and false teachers when Jesus said they're coming. And he said you got to expose them because they're wolves in sheep clothing. Don't let them come and take the sheep and rob the sheep and kill the sheep and maim the sheep. Let the sheep become so hurt, the sheep don't even want to come back to the flock. That's why we got to expose them. You are not just there. You're not just called to preach them happy messages and
and make people call you, well, you're preaching real good, preacher. Preacher, no, no, that you're not called for that. Jesus said he came to bring a sword. Hallelujah. Father against son and mother against daughter and all this stuff Jesus said he was going to do. Why? Because the truth going to stir some stuff. When you're preaching the truth, folk going to get mad at you. Your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, all them folk up in the house going to get mad at you when you're preaching the truth. When you preach against sin, S-I-N. Problem is today, too many preachers not preaching against sin. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1 to 5. Moses speaking here. God speaking through Moses. He said, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Hallelujah. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. Yeah, but this was some heavy, heavy command that God gave to Moses, to the people of Israel. Today, folk, don't talk this kind of talk in the house of the Lord. Because now everything is, we are under grace. We're not under the law, but as far as I know, the law is not done away with. If it were, we wouldn't have Old Testament and New Testament. We would only have New Testament. But Jesus said he comes to fulfill, not to abandon. Hallelujah. The law still stands. That's why you go to jail or you get condemned to life imprisonment or death sentence when you murder. Hallelujah. And folk will charge you, will get charged if you get caught in the house committing adultery. You can be charged. These laws still stand. If you steal, you'll get charged. You can spend a long time in prison for stealing because the law still stands. The law is not banned. So he said, look, don't let these people lead you away. Some of these folks are talking so much stuff from the pulpit that they're mesmerizing the people. And the people say, well, it's okay because my pastor don't talk about this stuff. So it must be okay. My pastor don't preach about this stuff. My pastor's he's a good man. She's a good woman. That's how they talk. Because see, if you don't trouble their soul, their spirit, they think you real good. You real good. Only body's good is God. But they say, my pastor's a good man. I love my bishop. I love my apostle. I love my evangelist. But that's all good and well. But I want you to teach me the truth so I don't end up in hell. You're still in Deuteronomy. So let's go to chapter Deuteronomy chapter. You're still in chapter 13. Let's go to verse 14, 13 and 14. 13 and 14, Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let's read verse 13 and 14. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You need the truth. We need the truth. I need the truth. If you don't need it, I need it. Because if you don't have the truth, you're not going to enter in. I'm telling you right now. If you're not living the truth, you're not going to enter in. You're going to be standing at that gate waiting to go in, and he's going to tell you. We just read in chapter 7 of Matthew, depart from me, you work of iniquity. And that's going to be a sad sign for a lot of people who spend 40, 50 years in the house of the Lord, living a deceptive lifestyle as a preacher before God. Time for us to repent and say, Lord, I've been going the wrong way for a long time, Lord. Forgive me. Help me to go on this right path. The path that honors you, that glorifies your name. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 13, we just read verse 1 to 5. Let's jump to 13 and 14. He says, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of this city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be true and the things certain that such abomination is wrought among you. Listen what he said in verse 15. He says, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. He said, you got to move these false teachers and preachers out of their place. You got to smite them with the edge of the sword. The sword is not, the sword is not a candy stick. The sword is man. The sword destroys. The sword kills. This is what God says to the prophet Moses. Today we let the people come because they got the nice fancy robe on. They got the apostle ring on, the bishop ring on, the pastor ring, the evangelist ring. You know what I'm saying. They look the part. And we allow them to come and preach a message that don't come out of the Bible. It sounds good. It sounds good. It entices the people to keep doing what they're doing instead of convicting them to turn to the truth. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 16. We're talking about, I know this is, I don't want this message to be a devil message. I want this message to touch us, to cut us. We're talking about there are satanic deceptions in the church or churches. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16, he says, Moses speaking, take heed to yourself or examine yourselves that your heart be not deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. You hear what God is saying? Don't look at everybody. Don't point your finger at everybody. Some of these folk are going to church and they're preaching and teaching and they're burning sage. They have all this stuff going on, this satanic stuff in their house. They're worshiping different little statues in their house. They got these little pot belly statues in the house that they're rubbing because they want to get money. Their main focus is to get rich, to get all the stuff of the world. They don't have the poor. They don't give to the widows. They don't give to the fatherless, the motherless, or the orphans. They're just thinking about their own belly, like in the book of Jeremiah. They're just eating the fat of the poor, while the poor eat the bones, the leftovers. Here, God is telling us right here to examine our own selves. That's what he said here in Deuteronomy. Take heed to yourselves. Look at yourself. Don't look at the pastor. The pastor is not your God. He's a teacher. He's a preacher. That's why we have to study ourselves. Study ourselves. Some folks don't even carry a Bible anymore. And some, they don't even download the Bible. Now, some have it on the cell phone or the tablet or so. But most of them just go on with their hands, just reading. Their pocketbook, their wallet, whatever. And they want to hear a word from the pastor, the bishop, whoever is teaching or preaching. And they come and say, well, that was a good message. If you ever take the time to say, well, what the preacher? Hey, let me say something. I don't think I hear all the message. What the preacher? Just testing them. Say, I don't think I hear all the message. What did the preacher really preach about? What was the main subject? What was the main subject matter? You know what they tell you? I don't know, sister. I don't know, brother, but I tell you, she sure did preach good. She sure did preach well. Jesus said, he said, take heed to yourself that your heart be not deceived. Watch yourself. You might think, we might think we got it together, and all the time we're deceiving our own selves. So what do we have to do? We have to examine our own hearts every day according to God's word, not according to what the preacher says. Look in the word for yourself and say you're meeting up to God's standard. We know that God wears a hand in our ways, his thoughts are in our ways, our thoughts, but we have to try to get close to it, as close as we can, doing what pleases God, what honors God. We got to try our utmost best to get close. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Luke. Let's go over to Luke 21. I go move you through this Bible. Let me see if you know your Bible for real. Let's go through the Bible. Turn the pages.
Write down the scriptures. Don't just listen to me. Write down the scriptures so when you get off of this blog talk radio, that you can go on your own Bible and look at the word and see that apostle David Callender is not telling you no lie. I'm telling you what God has, that the men of old penned by his spirit. He has touched them by his spirit and give them, allow them to pen this word down, put it down on paper so we can look at it for ourselves. Look at it. Luke 20, 21 and 36. Jesus speaking says, watch you therefore and prayer always that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? That's God, Jesus Christ himself. Watch. Watch in prayer. Don't just condemn and be judgmental over people. Watch for your own heart. Watch for your own heart. Hallelujah. When I make an error quick, I take myself, Lord, forgive me. I repent of that, Lord. Even the thought, Lord, to have a thought in my head. Satan is bombarding us, pushing things before us. Every time you look around, stuff is changing in the atmosphere. Things are changing. Technology is changing to keep us focused on the world system instead of God's system. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to fast. We don't have time to study. We don't have time to give God a hallelujah praise. He said, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all, not some, all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. God is telling you all these things, all the things that's going to happen. He already told us. The things that are going to come to pass, they're already penned down in the book. It's penned down early, and then it's penned down late. Early, all is from the Genesis all the way, and then in Revelation, it is penned there for us to see. You can't escape it. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. We just pull up a couple of verses there. Let's go back there. We're talking about There are satanic deceptions in the church. Come over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 and 25. Excuse me. All of a sudden, my throat want to get some phlegm in it, but it's not going to stop us. Matthew chapter 7. Here we go. Verse 1 to 5. This is what it says. You know the scripture. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the same judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest that thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? I'll hear what God tells you. God make this thing so plain. A fool can understand what God is saying. A whole learned person can understand what he's saying. Say, we are so busy. We are so busy pointing fingers at other people and not looking at our own hearts. We're not examining our own selves. The fault, you know, folk are told, don't commit adultery. And when you look around, they're sleeping around with somebody's husband or somebody's wife. They're told, don't steal. And when you look around, they're stealing everything that's not nailed down. You understand what I'm saying? God is saying, we got to look at our own selves first. Look at us. No, don't go examining and judging your brother or sister when you know you got some stuff going on in your life. Look at yourself. Because you want to be able to stand when it comes to that day before the Son of Man. We just read that scripture. We want to be able to stand before him and him say, come on into my rest, into my peace, into my joy. We want him to invite us in, not cast us out or let us stay out. Hallelujah. So he says here, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye and behold a beam is in thy own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thou be clearly, shall thou see clearly, to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Jesus said, look, examine yourself, look at yourself. That's all he wants us to do. Instead of trying to
trying to look at everybody. If not, you know, one thing for sure, I preach this thing and teach this stuff, but what? My God, I be working on me. I be saying, Lord, help me to fix this thing. Lord, I know I can't do it by myself. I be asking him. I mean, if he come here and tell you, he was talking about that my son David, he be seriously talking to me about stuff going on. No, I have come. I said, Lord, you know that this thing come up in my mind, and it shouldn't come up in my mind, but I had no control. But why? The devil put it there. And I, God helped me to put it down, because you see, the devil going to put thoughts in every one of our minds. See, he know he can't touch us because, as I told you last week, we are covered in the blood of Jesus. He can't touch us. He can't touch a saint. But he can put a thought in your mind. And then it's up to you now to activate the thought that he said. That way you see a lot of leaders are trying themselves for the kids and stealing and committing adultery and all that stuff and lying and all that stuff because they let the thought fester. And then it becomes sin because they put it into action. You see what I'm saying? Paul said, you've got to cast on all thoughts and imagination. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We got to bring them things into obedience unto Christ. We got to cast them down. We can't care about them. Oh, well, I just thought that girl just come to my mind. That guy just come to my mind. She is so beautiful. She was so nice. She smelled so good when she passed next to me. No, you can't have that stuff. You can't start feasting on that stuff in your mind, because guess what? You're going to want to activate it. Once you start feasting on that stuff in your mind, you're going to want to activate it. Then you see you're going to start sinning against your God, not against your marriage. Because I talked so, it was against my marriage. But I when God showed me, it wasn't against my marriage, but it was against him, because I married to him first. He is the bridegroom of my soul. See, you got to understand that. When you get that in your spirit, then you say, don't care what your body is saying. You say, I'm not going to deceive this thing. I'm not going to deceive the word of God. I'm not going to deceive Jesus. I'm not going to, because I feel like I want to have sex, because I feel like I got to steal that stuff that don't belong to me. No. You say, I'm not going to do it. No. He said, okay, let's go to, oh, my God, go to Matthew chapter 13. We're talking about there are satanic deceptions in the churches. Matthew chapter 13. I didn't say this stuff. Jesus put it in the book. He put it here for a reason, for us to get a clear understanding of what we should not do. That's why he keep telling you to examine yourself. Look at yourself. He keep telling us to look at ourselves. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, God wants his children to examine their own self. He gives us the tools to examine ourselves. What are the tools? The 66 books from Genesis to Revelation. For us to examine ourselves and see if that our lifestyle is pleasing to him. You remember when Noah was out there building that big ark, that big old boat? And everything was coming out Noah. You see, they were drinking, the young women, the men was out there, and they were doing all type of stuff. But Noah kept his focus on doing what God called him to do. You think he wasn't tempted? His wife back there cooking up some food, and he out there sawing wood, and his muscles flexing and all that stuff, the sweat coming off of him. You know, he ain't had no tank top. He probably had all his chest open. You understand? He out there in the hot sun, sawing that wood, trying to make that boat that God told him to make. And everybody laughing at them, making fun of them. Come on. No, come on down here and have some of this wine. All these young girls out here. Your wife is up in age. Come on down here. You still got some vigor and vitality in your body, and these young girls are watching you. And no, continue working. Didn't leave for 1 minute. This is what God is calling us to do. Focus. Focus on the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 30. Let's see if we can work this out for you. 24 to 30. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, Jesus is declaring another parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seeds in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blaze was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, this not thou sowed good seed into the field? From whence then have it tears? That's a powerful question right here. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? And will you allow us to go and pull up, dig up the tares? That's what they're saying. But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them, or the good plants. Let both grow together until the harvest. See, God knows that a lot of things going to happen at harvest time. This is why sometimes you have some folk coming to church. I was in Africa, and we had a man come in the church. Man, I tell you that if you sat or get close to him, you would get drunk. And the preacher, who was supposed to be the shepherd of the church, wanted to put the man out because the man wanted to get close to me. He wanted to get close to me. For some reason or another, he wanted to get close to me. And the fumes that was coming out to him was intoxicating. I mean, it was strong. And they want to put him out. I said, no, don't put him out the church. Don't put him. He wanted to get close to me. Let him get close to me. Maybe the anointing that's on my life would rub off on him. Let him come. He's in that. He's a member of that church now. You hear what I'm saying? He's a member of that church now. So Jesus said, let them grow together. Let the tear and the wheat grow together. Something's going to happen. Because God is the one that he brings the change. Says the one was sowed, not water, but he brings the increase. He brings the increase. A lot of times we say, well, don't let her come into church because, you know, she's selling her body. She's looking for a way out. She can't set free. But she figured if she keep coming to the church, maybe something happened too. But these so-called Christians going to get up there, roll their eyes and laugh, and they're making fun of everything because she don't look like them. She don't look like us. You understand what I'm saying? But the Bible says he used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the weak things to confound the mighty. We got to let them come on in. I mean, they shouldn't stay the same way in the house. Why? Because the message that we are preaching is love, kindness, mercy, and grace. We're preaching this message, but we also are talking about sin. And we're letting them know if they continue in sin that they will not be able to enter in. Because Jesus said so. Not me, the preacher. Not you, the preacher. Jesus said so. It doesn't matter how many works that we do. If we don't live holy, we're not going to enter in either. Because works ain't going to get you in. Holiness isn't going to get you in. Listen to what he says. Hear what Jesus says. Jesus is so awesome, man. I tell you. He says, let both grow together until harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to be burned. To burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. See what Jesus says? He's going to do the separation. Jesus is going to do the separation. We want to separate. Like we got the keys to heaven or hell. Jesus determined who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Because of their lifestyle, our lifestyle, it will tell where we go. Listen to what he says. John chapter 17. John chapter 7. Let me see what my time is. John chapter 17. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting the scriptures down. John chapter 17. Jesus is speaking all the time. I love to minister about Jesus. John 17 and 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus is talking to the Father. This is one of the longest prayers. Or the longest prayer that Jesus did. And he's praying for us, not just for the disciples alone, because he said so. He's not just praying for the apostles alone, the disciples. He's praying for us also. And because that you have the word of God in your heart, people are going to hate you, even family members. You wonder why they can't stand you. Well, it's not so much you, but it's the spirit that lives on the inside of you that they can't stand, because the spirit makes you act different, make you talk different, make you respond different. When they're acting a fool, they expect you to retaliate, but you don't retaliate. You respond with love and kindness, because that's what he says. He said, well, love and kindness have drawn it. So you respond with love and kindness, and they are mad now, because they said, well, I say that. I thought she was going to act a fool. I thought he was going to act. Go, really, let me see who he really is. But they can't really see. You're right before them in the spirit, and they can't see that you have been changed. You have been renewed. They can't see it. See, because the deception that they see in the church, they expect you to act the same way. But you're the new church. You're part of the remnant that God is talking about. We are part of the remnant that God is talking about. That's why we don't act like the other churches. We teach different. We preach different. We live different. We are different because we have been changed. Listen what he says. Listen what he says. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Let's go over here to John chapter 8. We're talking about the devil now. Let's go over here. Man, I'm telling you. Hear what he says. John chapter 8. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, you are of your father, talking to them people now. Okay? You are of your father, the devil. He said, and the lust of your father you will do. These are false prophets he's talking about. These false prophets and false teachers, they're in there. And he said, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He didn't like the truth, couldn't stand in the truth. He was with the truth and couldn't stand it. He was in heaven, hallelujah, before the truth and couldn't stand the truth. He brought deception into the throne room. Satan did. Brought this. That's why he couldn't stand it, because deception cannot stay in the presence of God. It got to go. If we are living a deceptive life, guess what happens? We are not going to experience the true anointing of God in our ministry. It's not going to happen. It's not. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. I was over at my friend's house yesterday. I went over there. He called me. Went over there the day before. Then yesterday, he had to go pick up a water heater. And this is a man that's good to me. He's good to me. He and his wife is good to me. Every time I'm here, we don't have a dime. And all of a sudden, she dropped by. She said, Apostle, you know, the Lord just told me to bless you. And I called my husband. He said, write you a check. So I went over there, and the water heater was busted. I disconnected everything. And they said, well, let's put it in the truck and take it to the place because it's under warranty. And I said, when you get the new one, just call me. I said, you know it's not going to cost you anything. He said, Apostle, what are we going to do without you? I said, no, you just keep me. Just keep me. I'm your friend. I'm your brother. So I went over there yesterday. It took me just a few minutes to start the lines and hook up the gas and stuff and get over there. And he followed me all back to my truck. He said, what do I owe you, Apostle? I said, man, didn't I tell you that day before yesterday? I said, you can't pay me anything to work for you. You're always there for me, you and your wife. I mean, I don't even have to call you, and all of a sudden you'll get touch and you'll come by and bring me a check, $500, $400, $700, whatever the Lord put on the money. You just dropped it in my between my storm door. You can't go and be greedy and say, well, because I just used my tools, I need something from you. No, you can't do that. That's what the crooks do. You can't do that. If I come to Louisiana and I say, well, I go to see Apostle Stewart and Pastor George or Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington, and if something goes wrong, I say, man, let's go down to the place and rent some tools. I'm in Louisiana. I got my skill. That's my skill, God. Your skill is different than mine, but mine is air conditioning, heating, and plumbing. And if I'm in any city, y'all, now they got a tool rental place, you can go rent some tools. It's going to cost you less than if you call a technician. I'm telling you. You can rent a torch. You can rent a Phillips screwdriver, regular screwdriver, channel locks or something, and I can fix the problem because that's my gift. You know. Now, if the front is totally broken, we can also install a new one. All that stuff. And I'm not going to charge you anything. You know that because that's my heart. You got to have that kind of heart. You got a crooked heart, deceptive heart, all you want to take people to the cleaners. Man, the devil will get you. But that's not our portion. Here, where we at? Yeah. He taught him, he said, look, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You act just like your father. Who is your father? The devil. If you're not walking upright before Christ, the devil is your father. Because you're going to find that when the sun goes down, you're going to be doing things that are contrary to the book that we studied. Hallelujah. That's why you see a focus number one. They tell someone, well, I'm a prophet. I'm a prophetess. I'm an evangelist, pastor, teacher. But as soon as the sun goes down, they say they're dropping it like it's hot. Say, I got to let my hair down. Talk about stupid stuff. You see, the devil got a way how to get to the folk. Say, but I wait up for a while. I will hang out with my sisters and brothers. And with them, these are not true sisters and brothers. These are satanic sisters and brothers disguised as true sisters and brothers because they're going to the club. They're drinking alcohol. They're smoking dope. And they're getting down. You understand? Acting nasty, slimy. So why are you going to do that? Because why? You're not completely sold out to the kingdom. You have not completely given your heart to God. I'm talking to somebody out there in computer land. No. We have to make a decision. Who are we living for? Are we going to be deceivers? Because deception comes from deceivers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then you become a receiver of the deception. That's why this, you got preachers up there preaching. I tell you what, one, bring the man to the altar, put the man on the altar. They do that stuff from the book of Acts. But the book of Acts, them apostles, wasn't stealing the money. They were taking the money and giving to whoever had need of. But these preachers now, they walk on your money and talking witchcraft. You ain't see that in the Bible. Do you see it in the Bible? That's witchcraft. Say, let me put your money. Let me step on your money. Let me step on your money. You're going to find money going to show up in your mailbox. That's witchcraft. That's voodoo, hoodoo. What were they doing? You know, it's not in the Bible. Let me walk on your money. Once I walk on your money, is money going to show up in your mailbox. And people foolishly jump up and go put money on the steps so they can walk on them. You know what happened? They're getting their reward right here in this earth realm. Because then the day come that you see in Matthew chapter 7, he's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. He's going to say that. He said, neither there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is a liar and the father of it. If we continue to go on and be deceived by the stuff that we're hearing and not listening to what God is saying, guess what happened? We'll be just like the devil. Go to John chapter 1. I hope you're getting something with this. Listen what Jesus says. John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This grace and truth is unmerited favor. Moses said the law, give the law. The law came from God. Moses was the speaker. Yes, he gave the law. He was the speaker. Just like John was the writer or the scribe in Revelation. But who was the one speaking? Jesus spoke to the angel who spoke to John. You understand? So we got to get this thing in. God is not throwing away the Old Testament. He's not throwing away the law. This is why a lot of people are preaching that we are on the grace and not on the law. And folks saying, well, I don't have to pay that what the law was saying before, so I can go then commit adultery, I can go fornicate, I can steal and lie and cheat and all that kind of stuff. Because the preacher don't break this thing down for them. The law will always be here. The law is not going nowhere. The law is not going anywhere. You got unmerited favor, which is grace and mercy. But because grace and mercy, well, Paul, oh God, go to Paul, go to Romans chapter 6. Oh God, let's go there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I ain't even got that up there, but I just heard it. Lord Jesus, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Merciful Father. God wants you to hear something today. Jesus. Paul says, let's start at verse 1. This is connecting this what we're teaching. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace abound, may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? No. If you really under grace, why will you go back in sin? That's what he really saying. If you say that you are saved and sanctified, watching the blood of Jesus, why will you go back in the world doing the same thing? So you got to go back to the cross. Paul said, God forbid. He said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, dead works, the dead works, by the glory, Christ didn't have no dead works, but he had all dead works on him, by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness also of his resurrection. And we ought to be resurrected in glory, righteousness, holiness. Hallelujah. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In other words, we should not be sinning anymore. For he that is dead is free from sin. If you died with Christ, you're free from sin. He set us free. So we don't even have to operate the law anymore. The law don't have no power over us anymore. Because why? We live in what the law said we should live. We live in truth. We live in righteousness. We're obeying all the commandments. We're not picking and choosing some. Hallelujah. If remember I told you some time before when I was in the world. From here, let's go to Acts chapter 5. When I was in the world doing this stuff, living a worldly life, when I hear a siren, it could be an ambulance. You know, man, I tell you, going out of highway, my foot was shaking on that. We were shaking on that pedal, shaking. Because I knew that I was living a promiscuous lifestyle. I was living a sinful lifestyle. So when I hear the siren, I think that the police, even the ambulance coming for me. You hear what I'm saying? But once I got saved, when I received Jesus into my heart, I don't care how the siren come, left, come, right, don't matter to me. You know, when they was fixing the roads and we go through them blockers and stuff like that, when they have the severity test, I used to be trembling. Because I suppose a man look in the truck, look in the car and find a ball or something, open beer can or something, or open Jack Daniels balls, I could be arrested. Just for carrying that stuff. But now when I see the lights or see the severity tests with the police and stuff, it don't bother me anymore. Why? Because I know I'm not walking that kind of way. I'm not living that kind of way. When you know that you know that you know that you live over Christ, you got peace. You may not have no money in your wallet, but I'm telling you, you got some riches in your soul that nobody can purchase. Can't buy it from you. Can't sell it to you. God give it to you. Here in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. And we're talking about there are satanic deceptions in the church. And our foundational scripture was Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 and 25. He says here, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostle's feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? He said to him, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not that in the heart, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? Watch this stuff. What's the stuff that we are doing? And we think that when God says that we should give $20, we said, well, I'm going to give a dollar. When God told us, and we tell God, you know, God, if you're loving to sell this car, I'm going to give 10% to the church to help the orphans. Oh, God, if you allow me to get this job, if you allow me to get this job, I'm going to do this and do that. Well, we just sent out money to Ghana through PayPal because they can't get no money in Ghana, no other places. Can't go to Western Union. Because Western Union is amazing. In certain parts of Africa, you use Western Union. Certain parts, you can't use it. We now got to send money to Kenya, and we got to send money to India. So I said, God, if I just get this this job finish, I'm gonna get some. I'm gonna get the balance of the money gonna come, and I can send money to Africa, to Kenya, and to India. Now when it comes, so I said, well, no one, you know what, Lord, I've been waiting for this money for what? I'm going to the mall and buying a couple of new suits. Now I shut my door. So now God will shut the door for my blessings. See, you got to say, no, when you say a word to God, you can't go in there and do something else. No, I didn't ask a Sinai, a Sapphire. They want to do this stuff. They're doing their own thing. Cause and Peter said, look, while it was in your, wasn't it yours? Wasn't it yours? Why would you lie to the Holy Ghost? Why would you lie? The Holy Ghost is going to show up. If you and I, these people, partners, family, blog talk family, if we live according to the word of God, God's going to show us some stuff. He's not going to walk. He's not going to let us walk contrary to the spirit of God. He's not going to let us to walk that way. He's going to show up. Folk going to come into the house of God, and we're going to feel it. You're going to know. You're going to know the spirit. You don't have to even see them, hear them, but you're going to sense the spirit that they carry with them that day, that particular moment. Because God will let you know. Here, Peter says. He says, listen, verse 5 says, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these words. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Nobody didn't kill him. Nobody didn't take a spear, a sword, an arrow, and pierce him. He lied to the Holy Ghost. You can say he had a heart attack. I don't know what he had, but he dropped down dead there. Sometimes we don't know that it is possible for us when we're lying to God, not to the man of God or woman of God, that is possible. It's not for grace. It's not for that unmerited favor that we could drop down dead right there before the man of God or woman of God, because we're lying to the Holy Ghost. A lot of us today will lie to the Holy Ghost and think, and we take it for granted. But I come to tell today that this is satanic deception in the churches. Going to take out a lot of people because Satan going to call. God don't have to do nothing. Their own sin is what's going to take them out. God don't have to condemn nobody to hell. Their sin is what's going to condemn them to hell, their own sin. Because the Bible says they live by the sword, they die by the sword. This is what he says. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for such. And she said, yeah. Peter asked her, tell me if the land was sold for what your husband said. That's what he's saying. And she said, for such. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Hear what he's saying. Now, by this time, Peter is speaking to her. The apostle is speaking to her. Where other apostles standing there probably on the altar. She is trembling. Trembling with fear because now she recognized that she lied to God, the Holy Spirit. You hear what I'm saying? We got to think, people of God, this message that God gave me last night, we got to think about what we are saying before we say it. Think about what in our heart before we open our mouth to speak it, and ask God to forgive us and clean our heart before we speak some, because that may be the last time that we speak. I'm telling you, this is the hardest message that God has given me, but God wants us to really examine our own selves. Examine our hearts. You examine yours, I examine mine. Before we start talking and saying stuff. Because it could be the last time that we speak. It could be the last time that we do something, that we take action. Think about it. Verse 10 says, then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. They're both alike. Deceitful, conniving, and they bury them next to each other. This is what sin would cause to happen. Let me give you another scripture here. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Just turn backward. Acts chapter 4, 36 and 37. We're talking about there are satanic deceptions in the church. You got folk today, look, as soon as they hear a prophet on the line, oh, my God, if they hear a prophet come to town, let me tell you something. It is good to bless a man of God, a woman of God. But you got a prophet in your house. You got prophets in your house that are feeding you every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Saturday, whatever time the house is open. On the line. And you won't sow one seed. But you hear a prophet come into town. And you'll pull up your credit card. I'm going to put something on your card. I'm going to send you something. You're sending the prophet. But you're not taking care of your own house where you're being fed all the time. Listen to what he says. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. And Jose, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now watch, this is the difference, see? Jose, he laid the money at the apostles' feet. And this is how you get to, the people were just laying it there. The apostles wasn't giving them no instructions to do what to do. They did what they felt. There's people that are going to give to you from their heart. They're going to give to us from their heart. And there's others that are going to say, well, I'm not giving anything. Because the enemy is controlling them. You understand what I'm saying? They don't mind how much you do for them. You can give them the word. You can pray for them every day. Every time they call for prayer, you pray for them. But guess what? They're not going to do nothing for the kingdom. They want God to heal them, heal their mama, heal their father, heal their sister, heal their brother, heal their cousin. But they're not going to do anything for the kingdom. Because they think that when they give, that the apostle going to buy new robes, new suits, new alligator shoes, crocodile shoes. I got too much stuff now. Tell the truth. Not boasting that I give away stuff. What we live for is to help the kingdom. That's my focus. Even to a wife last night. You see, I put a post on Facebook. The Lord dropped that message for you. I said, I'm getting close to my end. I'm 72 years old, almost. I'm getting close to the end of my time in this earthly realm. And what I asked God yesterday, I said, Lord, let me do as much good as I can do for the time that I have left. That's my focus. I'm not trying to store up no barn like the man that tore down the barn, you know, in the book of Matthew. Tore down the barn, but he had a good harvest and built a bigger barn. But he wouldn't give nobody anything. He built a bigger barn so he can store more food. You know what I'm saying? You just building more to give the thieves and the moths more to eat. You'll build a bigger barn because you can't never get rid of it. We save all the money. Somebody was telling me yesterday. I was over my friend and she was telling me. She says, man, you know, Steve Jobs. We were talking about, she's a Christian and her husband is so-so. But, you know, we said that. He says, Steve Jobs had so much money. He was a billionaire. But when he left this earth realm, when he left this earth realm, he couldn't take anything with him. Go to Romans chapter 10. He couldn't take anything with him. And one of the things that he said before he died, he said he regret one thing, that he didn't know Jesus. But he had an opportunity there because he still was talking that he could have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. But yet he didn't ask nobody and nobody take the initiative because they're thinking that he's a rich man, a multi-billionaire, and they don't want to step on that path to say, well, let me pray for you to receive Jesus. Listen to what he says in Matthew, in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'll do one more part of this. This is going to be my last scripture. The Holy Spirit just told me. Romans chapter 10.
Now finish this sermon in my computer. But he said, brethren, verse 1, my heart desire and pray to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And see, this is what we as believers ought to be doing. We ought to be praying for the unsaved. We that know how to pray. Pray for the unsaved. Because he says God is desired that any would perish. He said all souls are mine, but the soul that sinners shall die. We ought to be praying for the unsaved. People in the world today don't hear much about the cross. They don't hear much about the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't hear much about what he has done at Calvary. I was watching an evangelist teaching on YouTube, and he was asking these teenagers going to college, and they were saying, have you ever heard, what do you know about Calvary Cross? And the young man says, I never heard anything about the cross. What's the cross? What does that mean? I never heard about resurrection or nothing. The man was asking a question. He heard about Jesus dying on the cross. He was crucified on a cross and that he was buried and rose. The boy said he never knew. Young man. So what are we doing? We are not teaching these people in the house of the Lord about Jesus' death on the cross and why he died, why he went to the cross. We're not teaching them so they can teach other people. We got these happy messages. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. We have a lot of people that, they say, well, you know, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm washing the blood of Jesus, but don't really have a relationship with him. I mean, they know of him, but they don't know him because nobody teaches them to develop a relationship with God. Spend quality time praying and fasting. Say the word of God and ask God to show himself to you. He'll come to you. He'll let you know. He says, for they're being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about establishing their own righteousness. You hear that? They're ignorant of God's righteousness. God's righteousness is according to these commands from Genesis to Revelation. But folks think that if they do this or do that, that they're righteous. It's more than just doing stuff, giving to the poor, giving to the widows, or fathers and motherless. You got to live this life. It's more than just teaching the word. You got to live the word. You got to become the word. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. But we can preach the word as soon as somebody says something or do something. We act like the Incredible Hulk. We change. David Biscay used to become a big green man. Luther Ingram, or we call it. They change. So what we do, we change. We start cussing people out and want to bust somebody here with a baseball bat, pick up the revolver, want to shoot somebody because we say we've been changed. We say, I'm going to heaven. But let somebody say the same something wrong. No, I'm not going to mess with them no more. I ain't fooling with them no more. But you stop praying for them. You don't want them to come in your mouth. You don't want their name to come in your mouth. But you say you're saved, you're sanctified. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to McDonald's with you. I'm going to Kentucky Fried Chicken. As much as I like chicken, I'm going to the fish house with you. I'm not going with you, but I'm going to pray for you. Because I'm not going to give you an opportunity to hurt me again. But I'm going to pray for you. God didn't tell me I got to go somewhere. He said, I got to pray for you, though. I got to love you. I'm still going to love you. But I'm going to love you from a distance. He told me I got to love you. So I got to obey him. Not you, not the next person. I got to obey my Father in heaven. I don't get it all right. Matter of fact, I get a lot of stuff wrong. That's why I got to keep on my knees. I was looking at my knees this morning when I went in the shower, and I said, man, my two knees, they got dark spots. They're darker than me. You know I'm dark. My two knees are darker than me. And I said, Lord, thank you that I can go on them, and they, you know, they're not hurting like you used to hurt, but you can see the black spots on them from seeking his face because I don't get things right all the time. So I got to go to him all the time. I got to constantly go to him and ask for mercy and grace. No. I hit verse 3. Okay, that's where we stopped there. And I only had 3 verses here written down. Next time we come up, we'll go to Ephesians and we go to Revelation. and we go to Jude, we go to Colossians, we go to Thessalonians, we go to Timothy and Romans, and we stop there. We're going to do one more session of this. Okay? God bless you. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. We ask, O God, that, Lord, as the word has went forth, O God, teaching straight from this book that you have given us, that give us life, and it give us life more abundantly, these 66 books. Father, they said that some people say, well, they stole, and they, even these new Jewish people now, the Israelites, now they're talking about, they rob us out of 14 books or so. I don't care how much the books they tell. We got enough books to live holy. We got enough books right now. These 66 books is enough for us, you and I, to live holy before God, to stand up before God and before these people and say, yes, we belong to God. Got enough. Don't let the enemy get you confused and make you figure you don't have enough books. If you only had Genesis alone, you have enough books. That's enough. If you only had Ephesians or Philemon or one of those books, one book is enough for you. It's got enough in it for us to know that we got to live a certain way to please God. I ask God now that even right now, God, that you continue to touch my body, continue to strengthen me as I grow older, wiser, and help me to be honest in every area of my life, oh God. Let me speak the truth in love. Even when folk come against me, Lord, help me to love them unconditionally. And Father, help me to be always ready and willing to help someone that is down, not just to look down on them, but help me to look down and help them up. And I'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Bishop. I think I see your phone on there. Come on in, Bishop. Bishop don't seem like he is available. Can you come on in, Bishop? Are you not available? Okay. Well, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible also said that God sent his son not in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans 3:23. The Bible also says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God commanded his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, while I was in the crack house, while somebody was in the whorehouse or whatever they was doing, stealing, cussing, Lord, Jesus died on a cross. He was nailed. He was crowned. He was pierced. He was abused for us, giving us the right to the tree of life, to drink from the fountain of life, because he is the fountain of life. He is the tree of life. And the Bible also says that in Acts 2:38, that you must repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost is the same. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. In the book of Acts 4:1. Let's start at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of this of the good deed done to this impudent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, you don't need a PhD. You don't need an MA or BA. All you need is Jesus. And when you allow Jesus to enter into your heart, Jesus will make the transformation that you need to represent him. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Jesus said in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus did not say he was one of the ways. We got to understand this. A lot of preachers are preaching many ways to the Father. But Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. The Bible says if you come in any other way, you're a thief and a robber. If you try to come in any other way, Jesus is the doorway. He is the good shepherd. He's the one who laid down his life for the sheep. And you got to come through him. Every one of us must come to Jesus. Recognize him as Lord and Savior, as Redeemer, and as soon coming King, as the one who shed his blood at Calvary. And when you do that, you are a candidate to be saved. In Mark 16, let's get there and read that. Because this is all about baptism. This is part of your salvation. Verse 15 to 18. Jesus is speaking. He said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Baptism is part of your salvation. A lot of people say, well, the thief on the cross, he didn't get baptized, and they say he was saved. Well, he was in a different dispensation. Hallelujah. He reached out to Christ, recognized Christ as Lord, and Christ gave him the opportunity to enter into paradise with him. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and even if you had backslide sometime and you haven't been walking according to the word, you can say this short prayer that I'm going to recite as the Lord gave to me. Hallelujah. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I've heard the word today and I'm convicted that I've been deceived and I've been living my life as I please. But today, Lord Jesus, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents. I believe what was said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed." I'm not ashamed, Jesus, because I realize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And today I'm coming to you with an open heart, needing for you to do surgery on my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1 and 9. Set my heart at peace, O God. Lord Jesus, today I invite you to come in and live on the throne of my heart. be the king of my soul. I no longer want to be the king and leader of my life, but I want you to be the king and the leader. Lord Jesus, I accept you now according to your word. The death that you were shed, you have shed at Calvary, and the life you have risen up out of the grave. I accept you right now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. And I ask you today to baptize me in the Holy Ghost. Fill me with your spirit and let your word take control over my heart. If you have just said that prayer, regardless if you had backslidden or this is the first time that you have come to Christ, and you have just said that prayer and you believe in your heart that which you confess with your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now you need to be baptized. And we always said, he said in 2010, to tell the people to call up their friends and family and even the enemies. So call up your friends and family, enemies, neighbors, because this is the greatest time of your life. This is your new birthday. You're going down this, what we call the watery grave of Jesus, and dying to self, dying to the world. The world dictates. And you will come up out that grave alive to Jesus Christ. And then you must submit and commit, like Pastor Bishop James says, submit and commit to Christ Jesus. Allow him to lead your life. So you look for a pastor that's preaching and teaching the gospel, ask him to baptize you. And if you don't find one and say they're baptized, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, say, well, don't get mad. Say, well, I'll get back in touch with you. But find a pastor that will baptize you in the way that Acts 2 and 38 says. You want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And when you go down that water, just let go and let God. I promise you that your life will never be the same. I'm not telling that your life is going to be easy. I'm just telling that it's never going to be the same. Because when you walk, decide to walk for Jesus Christ as he walked for us, his life was not the same. While he was walking to Calvary, they were spitting on him, kicking him, slapping him, doing all type of stuff with him. So when you decide to walk for him, your life is not going to be easy. There are going to be challenges, but you're not going to be walking alone. Guess what? He's going to be walking with you as he walked with us. God bless you. And I pray that you just get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Gospel of Acts, so that you will get a better understanding of this Jesus Christ and the apostles' doctrine that we preach and teach about every day on Block. God bless you all, and we pray that God continue to strengthen you in your new walk. In Jesus' name we pray. The line is open for anyone that wants to come on in and give God glory. Anyone that wants to come on in. The line is open. Mother Grant, you are on there. If you want to read, now you can go ahead. You can go ahead and read now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning to everyone. Does she want to go ahead, or should I go ahead and read?
You go ahead and read, and then I can say what I want to say.
God bless
you.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle, on your reading. Good morning to everybody, and keep me in prayer. I'm going to my cardiologist tomorrow for my checkup, 6 months checkup. So praise the Lord. My reading say obedience.
Yes.
See, I said before you today, life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his way, and to keep his commandment, this decrees the law, then you will live and increase. The Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to progress. Deuteronomy 30:15-16. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you and may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to forefather, trusting out all your enemies before you as the Lord said, Deuteronomy 6 and 18. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. Just as the Lord, the God of your father, promised you, Deuteronomy 6 and 3. If you pay attention to those laws and are carefully to follow them, the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your forefathers, Deuteronomy 7 and 12. Oh, that their heart would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commandments always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever, Deuteronomy 5 and 29. Carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything you do, Deuteronomy 29 and 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you, Philippians 4 and 6. Anyone who break one of the least of those commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches those commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5 and 19. Therefore, everyone who heard these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock. Matthew 7, 24, 25. If you obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in commitment. Job 36 and 11. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8 and 28. Obey my commandment, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandment and remain in his love. John 15 and 10. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. John 13 and 17. But the man who looks intense into a perfect law that gives freedom and continue to do this, not forgiving what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. James 1 and 25. And receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commandment and do what pleases him. 1 John 3 and 22. For it is not those who fear the Lord who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Romans 2 and 13. I tell you the truth, whatever hear my words and believe him who sent me his eternal life and will not condemn, he has crossed over from death to life. John 5 and 24. For whatever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 12 and 50. The world and its desire pass away, but the man who does the will of God live forever. 1 John 2 and 17. No one who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 7 and 21. Blessed are they who maintain justice, who continue do what is right, Psalms 106 and 3. And once made perfect, he become the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Hebrews 5 and 9. I tell you the truth, if anyone keep my word, he will never see death. John 8 and 5. May God and his blessing to his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mother Grant, for that awful reading. You was tightening with a lot of scriptures that I put up there that the Holy Spirit gave us this morning. So we thank God for you and for your reading today. Pray God bless you and bless all your family and your friends, and God bring those that are sick through, that they might live and declare the works of the Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And thank you so much, Mother. The line is open.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Apostle Calvin. God bless you.
Good morning.
And to Grant this morning, to Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington, and to Deacon. Pastor, you just really, Apostle. You know I call everybody Pastor. But giving you the honor that you do, Apostle Kalina, I love the way God used you to minister his word. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I know. And I know what you're saying. I know deeply what you're saying, you know. But, you know, as you said, all this stuff is really happened today. And so, you know, that's why I say all the believers need to stay on point. I'm going to say in point. Well, I'm supposed to say on point. In point with the word of God daily. Because truly the devil, he's on pain. And, you know, some of us standing back. He's supposed to be up in the forefront. You understand? If we got God and we are declaring his name, we supposed to be in front of that devil, and that devil will probably be behind us on our feet. But, you know, I just praise God. I thank and praise God. You know, I said, now, this is the kind of preaching that my health brought me up on it. And I love that. I love it. I love it. It just, you know, it just brings back memories. You know how the Lord allowed me to be brought up in his word. You know? And as you say, you know, even that sometimes, you know, I go and visit other place, I didn't get this. But I knew this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that helped me to stand. That helped me stand down through the years. The Lord has blessed me to stand. And, you know, I just thank God for you. Thank God for you. Just thank God, and God bless you. Bless your family. Amen, amen. Because I truly can say that our apostle is preaching the Bible. And so many people cannot say that. They cannot say that. I mean, I know they do say it, but it cannot say it. You really preach the word.
Amen.
God, I love to hear you preach the word. And matter of fact, I know Apostle Washington and Bishop James and Deacon, we all bring the word. Mother Grant, we all own this Block Talk ministry. We bring the word. We don't sugarcoat. And so, you know, that's why I love it. That's why I love it. And truly, my spirit is blessed today. Amen. That's it.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Apostle. We just bless the Lord for you and for your sister and your daughter, your nephew, and all your family members. We just pray God's strength upon you. Especially as the watchman for that family, we pray God's strength upon you, because, you know, every family has a watchman. Everybody's not watchful, but every family have a watchful. And we thank God for you as the watchman for your family. And we ask God to strengthen you, strengthen every joint, every marrow in your bones. God, strengthen your lungs, your kidneys, your bladder, your pancreas, your heart, your liver, your kidneys. God, just strengthen your mind, your brain, your eyes to see and hear clearly. I just ask God to just touch you, woman of God. You know I love you so much. You are so special to me as my sister in Christ. I just love you. You are just a, one of those things that just ignite the heart of a man of God. And I'll tell you something, that when I met you, you just made my heart smile, you know, because I could see the kindness of God in you. It wasn't no filthy nothing. It was just pure righteousness that I could see in you. And I just thank God for you, because you blessed me just being in your presence. Bless me. I just want you to know that, you know. And, you know, sometimes, even since I've been back here, I've been just thanking God for the time that we have had. I know Apostle talks about it a lot, but I've just been thanking God for the time that we have had as truly people of God that are faithful to God. You know what I'm saying? And that just blessed me. Just blessed me. That's why I know I'm standing with you. I'm standing with you for your sister, for your daughter, and all your family members. I'm standing in the gap with you in prayer and expecting great, great response from heaven. I'm expecting great response from heaven for you, you know. And you will see, because God is faithful. He is faithful. I thank you so much for your response. But the line is open. The line is open. The line is open. Thank you for your response.
Thank you. You're welcome for everything.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God, Apostle. Praise God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, how great it is to be able to hear the wonderful word of God, to be graced with his presence.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we thank God. Thank God for all of you. Thanking God for his wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, most and foremost, our Lord. And we praise him today. He was praised today by the message. Amen.
Amen.
And I thank God for all of you on the line. Hallelujah. I give all of you the honor you deserve.
Yes.
Those who are on this line, working for the kingdom, being about the Father's business. Amen. And I thank God for you, Apostle Calendar.
Yes,
I thank God for you, Apostle Millie Jefferson.
Hello.
I thank God for you, Deacon Frazier. Hallelujah. Yes. And all of you are special to me. I thank God for my husband sitting here next to me, Bishop James Washington. I thank God for every evangelist, every apostle, every minister, every teacher, every prophet that is working hard for the kingdom.
Amen.
Doing the work of the Father, taking the hits that we take because of these messages, because of the truth that we're teaching.
Amen.
And we take the hits all the time because we are not of the satanic church.
Amen. We are
of that church that don't honor God, that church that hate Jesus. We're not of that church. And you were talking about that church that hate the Lord, those people that hate the Lord, those people that enter into the buildings and do satanic worship. And you said, Apostle, that is not of God, and we all know it's not. And you laid it out today. So I thank God for you, sir. I thank God for your tenacity. I thank God for your boldness. I thank God that you take advantage of the authority that God has put into you as a man of God, and we must all take advantage of that authority that we've been given, and that authority is that we can trample upon the serpent, hallelujah, and also that you, in this message, it's very clear that what you were saying is that we have to have a spirit of discernment. We have to know, we have to learn the word of God. We have to speak the word of God, know it and speak it and use it to our advantage. But I want to pray, my brother. I want to pray for you. Pray for you, our apostle. You, every time we give a message, you always pray for us. You pray for us before the message. You pray for us after the message. And you deserve to have this prayer that I'm about to say for you. I thank God that you have a special grace that you've been given. Also the apostle on this line, the ministers on this line. We have a special grace that's been given to us by God to care for his people. And I thank God for you that you care for the people of God. You care for the strangers. You care for people. You don't even know these people. You have not met these people. You had not even met me in the natural, but you met me in the spirit. I know I got to say this. You met me in the spirit. You meet people in the spirit because you're in tune with the spirit of God. So you meet people in the spirit. Apostle Millie, when we meet people in the spirit, we truly know who they are.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We know who they are for sure. We don't have to guess because God said we know by his spirit. And this man of God is in tune with the spirit of God. He's a mouthpiece of God. He's a prophet of God. And he sits in the seat of an apostle and a prophet. And so I just thank God, I'm giving honor to our apostle. Yeah, I am. He don't want the accolades, but we have to give the honor where honor is due. That's what the word of God says. Amen?
Amen.
So when you care for the people of God, and we thank you for caring for all of us. You care for each and every one of us individually and as a body.
That's right.
And because of that, you have the blessings of God in your life, and the enemy hates that.
He hates that.
And when we teach these messages, and when we preach these messages, Apostle, you know the enemy come with all guns. He come with all guns. And it's always a costly thing to give your life to God. And that is what you have given. And you don't mind the cost. You don't mind whatever it costs. I'm saying all these things because I want you to know that I appreciate you. We appreciate you as your friends. We appreciate you as one that care for us, truly care for us. And you always say, I love you, not from the bottom of my heart, but from the center of my heart. Hallelujah. Yeah. And we understand that you go through a lot just to be who you are in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I want to say to you, we love you and we pray for you. Hallelujah. Because we know, not only do we pray for you because we love you, we pray for you because we know of the attacks that come upon your body. We know of the attacks that come upon your life because it happens with us also.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. And the Bible says that it would happen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And the Bible also says, those that teach will be judged.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I know y'all read this scripture. Will be judged with greater. We got to be careful. And, Apostle, you were talking about these people who are false prophets, false ministers, the whole nine yards. Amen. Yes. But you're not. So praise God. So we're going to pray for you. Please be in agreement with me that we pray for this word, not only to soak into us, but to soak into him. Soak. And as it's soaked and it's soaked and it's soaked, Apostle, that is, you're going to pour out even the more. Even the more will come and flow from you, from the Spirit of God. We're believing that as you give out, you get even the more. Amen. Hallelujah. That your family life and your relationships across the board will be greater in the name of Jesus Christ. I said greater in the name of Jesus Christ. And the blessings of the Lord will continue to flow mightily, continuously, mightily through you in the name of Jesus as you pour out for God. He pour out on you in the name of Jesus Christ. We already know that. Glory be to God. We pray that as you preach, along the way, as you travel and as you preach, that people will be united even the more in the name of Jesus Christ, that they will soak too as well, that word will be soaked in their heart as you pour out so fervently my God, had you poured out with such tenacity, hallelujah, with such power from the Holy Spirit, that people will get it, that people will get the word of God, and that people will live the word of God after they hear it and they're soaking it, that they will live the word of God, and that they will remember that they've been taught. They will remember who taught them. Glory be to God. They will remember who's taught teaching through the person of God, and that is Jesus Christ. And that they will not just look up to the pastors and the teachers and the prophets as God, but look up to Jesus Christ himself, who is the person inside of that person, the person that is preaching the word of God. Hallelujah. That's who taught us today, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So we thank God for you, this holy vessel. That's right, a holy vessel that gives himself unto the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know, you give so much, but a lot of people take you for granted. That's right, I said that. A lot of people take you for granted. Hallelujah. But Jesus is blessing you. Jesus is blessing you all the time, no matter how many people take you for granted, no matter how many people lie to you and tell you they love you, but they really don't, but they really just want what you got. They want what you got to give, just like they did with Jesus. They don't treat you like a brother. They don't treat you like anybody, really, just somebody that can give to them when they need, somebody they can call when they need something. But that's okay. That's our job. And you do your job well. That's okay, because the more we give out and pour out in love, the more God is going to pour back into you.
Into all of
us. And I guess some people might be saying, I wonder why she's coming, why she's coming with all that today. I'm coming with it because God put it on my heart. Glory be to God, because I know what goes on in the body. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I know hardly ever does people come on this line and pray for you. Uh-huh.
Come on now.
I'm honoring you because you are worthy to be honored.
Yes.
You are worthy to be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
You are one that stand with all of us. And we are praying for you, and Apostle said it too, praying for your family, hallelujah, praying for everything to go well all the time, hallelujah.
Yes.
And we're going to be like Moses. We're going to be like Aaron.
Yes.
We're going to be like we're going to be like those that will hold your arms up.
Yes,
we're
going to
be like those that will stand with you and hold you, hallelujah, stand with you, hold you in prayer. That's how we hold you, in prayer. We pray for you to be strengthened. We pray for you to be able to cope, that you continue to cope with everything that comes at you, and that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, we condemn it now, right now, in the name
thank
of
you, Lord.
That message you preach, that message you preach today, that devil is mad. My God, he's mad as all the hell that he got in him. That's a whole lot of hell. That's a whole lot of hell. I'm telling you, he's mad just as much as that hell he got in him today. But no weapon is going to prosper. I said it cannot do it. It cannot do it. And we plead the blood of Jesus over you and your family.
Jesus.
Connected to you over your home. We thank God that the angels are with you. Glory be to God, taking charge over you, keeping you in all of your ways. And there ain't nothing that damn devil can do about it. Hallelujah, because he's damned to hell. That's right, I said it. He's a damn devil. He's damned to hell. Call him what he is, a damn devil. Hallelujah. He'll never make it to heaven. He'll never get to stand with Jesus Christ ever again. Glory be to God. So we just thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that we know we must pray for our leaders, and we must obey authority. Hallelujah. You are one of authority. Glory be to God. And I respect you to the uttermost. Glory be to God. I admire you to the uttermost. Glory be to God.
Lord.
And we love you to the uttermost. Glory be to God. We love you with the love of God himself, Yahweh. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. This ain't nothing nasty. This ain't nothing foul. We love the love of Christ, a pure love, like you said, Apostle. Glory be to God. We thank you. We pray so much for your family life and that God's word, God's power, God's holiness, God's anointing just will permeate your life.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, glory be to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And we thank God for the special gifts that you have, that God has given you. We also pray that you get all the rest you need. Hallelujah. And that you will continue to rest in Jesus. Rest in Jesus himself. That you will never fret about nothing. You will never worry about anything in the name of Jesus, because you know you got everything with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God will keep your mind, hallelujah, with his peace that surpasses all understanding, and that his that peace will guard your heart and guard your mind, guard your wife, guard her mind, guard your children, guard their mind, guard your grandchildren, guard everybody connected to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Most High God. And we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for everything that went forth in the word today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for your righteousness in this
Lord.
Man. We thank you for your strength in this man of you. We thank you for your wisdom in Apostle Calendar. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. I know you have called him to be who he is, oh, God. And I know, God, that you will continue to help him to move in the spirit of the Holy Spirit. Move in your spirit. Move in your fire. Move, oh, God, hallelujah, with power. In the mighty master's name of Jesus, and that everywhere you walk, Apostle Calendar, everywhere you tread upon, the Bible said it would be yours. My God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, we pray that God will continue to establish the works of your hands, using your talents even the greater, as you decide that I will give all my talents back to God, all my gifts to God, and my gifts will be used for God. Hallelujah. Even the greater in the future. Your gifts that he has put in you will be used even the greater in the future. God, we just thank you now. Greater in store for this apostle. Greater in store, as a matter of fact, for all the people on the line who is really, truly with God, who is with the true church of Jesus Christ and not the satanic church that our apostle was preaching about today. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Ask that you send your angels unto thee to protect our leader. Hallelujah. Give him the strength. Again, I say, give him the power. Give him more understanding to teach your word and to do so in a way that will drive that devil out, will drive him out. Hallelujah. Drive him into far off places. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Glory.
My God, in the name
thank
of
you, Lord.
Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. God, we pray that our pastor will continue to counsel that nobody in this world can ever take him down.
All right now.
Nobody.
Thank you,
Jesus. What their plans are. We cancel every plan of the enemy right now in the mighty matchless name of Jesus. We call up null and void in the name of Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Glory be to your name, Father. We thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. Yes,
you,
Lord,
our God,
Jesus,
in his life and over his home and over his entire family and everything concerning him, God, because you said you are concerned about our concern.
Hallelujah.
Yes, so,
Lord.
Father, we just say that every concern
thank you, Jesus,
of our apostle overseer is in your hands.
Yes,
he's in your hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's in your hands.
Thank you, Lord.
In the powerful hands of the Almighty God. And we thank God that he loves us and he hugs us with your word, oh God. Hallelujah. He sends kisses with your word, oh God. Hallelujah. To all the people, not just to some of the people. He even loved those that he knows don't care for him. But he still pray and they still call him and he still counsel. My God, he still, they don't give a penny to block talk. But Lord God, he still give them all he got in you, God. Hallelujah. And we thank God that he's blessed even the greater as for it, oh God, hallelujah, because you say, God, even the enemy, God, would use to bless us, hallelujah, and that's why you know that, hallelujah,
thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God, give, even though you know ain't nobody, and many ain't giving back, but you still give, my God, but that's because of the Holy Spirit in you, that's because of
thank
God
you,
in
Lord,
you,
Jesus.
It ain't got nothing to do with David Callender, it's all about God, and you've got all of God inside of you, glory be to God, and we just thank God for who God has given us. Hallelujah. Strong.
Hallelujah.
Strong leadership.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. And more is yet to come.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. More is yet to come. Building, television ministry, all of that yet to come. In the name of Jesus. For God is taking you higher. You've already gone higher in the spirit realm. Glory be to God. And today, even the higher in the spirit realm, even the higher, because you're bold enough to come and preach.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
But God says to preach. Talking about those satanic churches. So it is Jesus Christ's name I pray that all is well for your life and everything concerning your life. Hallelujah.
Thank
in God's
Jesus.
Eyes,
thank you, Lord.
He is pleased with you. I call you my pastor.
Thank you, Lord
I
Jesus.
I call Apostle Jefferson my pastor, and I feel the same way about her. My God, I feel the same way about
thank
her
you,
and others who have touched my life. Hallelujah. Hey. But I tell you what, you're the first person besides Minister Jefferson, Apostle Jefferson now, Apostle Jefferson, that has touched me in such a way that I know that I know that is God.
Amen.
That is Jesus Christ. I've been around a lot of ministers. I've been around a lot of pastors, serving quite a few churches. But this experience that I'm having now is real.
Thank you.
It's the realest I've since I've been in ministry.
Thank you.
Telling y'all, because you're real.
Thank you.
In Jesus Christ. You're not a part of that foolishness and that satanic stuff and that it's all for me and mine. No, we are now connected to people who really love the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord.
Thank
you. Every day, God, I thank you.
Yes, Lord.
God, that you have put into my life. Yes. Hallelujah. Truly friends of Jesus. If you're a friend of Jesus, truly you're a friend of mine.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I thank God every friend. I thank God everyone that gives to this Blog Talk Radio, to this Church of God. It's the Church
Lord.
Of God. It don't belong to apostles. Mm-hmm. It don't. It belongs to God. We all belong to God, and we should treat each other as so, and we should be more than happy.
Yes, Lord.
Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm excited about it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And I'm full of the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. And I pray that
yes,
you all can go and speak it. That I'm full of the love. I'm full of the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God. Hallelujah. Full of it.
Yes,
so much
Lord.
So that it's so much so that it just flows out and touches others around the world.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Glory be to God. I know I preached a little bit, but I gave you what was on my heart.
That's okay.
Thank you so much, Apostle. You know we enjoyed
Amen.
It. We are always a sponge when we hear the word of God. Always coming.
Amen.
I love to soak up the word of God. It's, it just makes me so strong just to soak it
Amen.
Up. You know, God is just so faithful to us. You know, he's so faithful to us. I can't say enough about the God we serve, you know.
That's right.
We had a apostle on the line with us, but as soon as I said I was there, because I heard the Spirit stop the message there, he jumped off. You know, God is faithful. God is faithful.
Yes.
Because I'm going to do, I know a lot of times, you said it too, a lot of times folks didn't want to hear that kind of message. But that's
right.
The message that God has spoke. It's in the scripture. I didn't say nothing to myself. Mm-hmm. It's in the scripture, and Jesus himself put it there. He put it there.
That's right.
Every scripture I give you, Jesus put there. And he's telling you that this stuff is in the church. He's telling you that.
You
know,
it's there.
And these folk are going to die in the house because he's going to raise up his remnant, going to come. He's going to raise up his remnant.
Right.
His remnant is outside. Oh, my God, Holy Spirit. His remnant is already here. His remnant is outside the building. He's not in the building. You hear what I just said? The remnant of God is not in the building. The remnant of God is outside the building.
Amen. Now,
you know, people are running to these big stadiums and all that stuff and say, well, we got 35. My bishop got, we got three services going on. Three services going on to who? To who? See? Because they forget that Satan is the God of this world. And a lot of folk, as Jesus said, they're not worshiping him. They're worshiping other gods. Jesus told you that in the word. I preach it today. It's in the word. He said they're worshiping other gods. You know, and they were told to worship other gods by their leaders. You hear what he says? By their leaders. They were told to worship other gods. And they're worshiping these gods, and they feel they're doing so good. They're not doing good. They're heading to hell. And God is saying, this is the message I want you to preach now, son. And don't hold back nothing. People are going to get mad at you, but don't hold back nothing because this is what they're doing. Don't hold back anything. Release it. Because the wolves are coming. They're covered in sheep clothing. And they look genuine, but they're not genuine. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. They look genuine, but they're not genuine. They're just eating the sheep. They're just eating the sheep alive.
Amen.
And God said they need to be exposed. They need to be exposed. We can't play in that. We can't play with them. We can't play with them.
Lord. That's right.
We can't play with them.
Amen. It was a message, you know, that if needed, like you said, that's what God said. Let them have it. Let them have it. Whether they chew on it or not, let them have it. Whether they're going to use it or not, just let them have it.
It's right.
That's what we have to keep in our mind. We're going to pray. We're going to pray, worship, teach, and preach, prophesy the way the Lord is. Amen.
Amen.
Here we come, here we are, because we're coming. We are now, and we're coming, and we're going. And then God said we're going to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field, blessed when we come and when we go. So we're coming and we're going. And as we come and we're going, we're blessed. Hallelujah. We blessed beyond measure.
Through Jesus.
We've been made the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. And we're not scared of no devil. No matter how
many
weapons are at us, no matter how many times we go through the fire, we always out and we never burn.
Amen.
Burning, we don't even smell like smoke.
Jesus.
While we in, we praise him. When we come in, we praising him. And we thanking God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the training. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us up and out, for bringing us heights in you, higher heights. We're being elevating. You know, us revelation, we get elevation. Amen. When we use that revelation,
hallelujah.
Then we get, and I have to say that, we got to use the revelation.
Amen.
And so today, we got to keep this word. We got to keep this word in our heart. Go back and listen again. Amen. And and if you didn't have paper and pen, you can go back and listen, and you don't have to write it. You can keep listening to it over and over and go to your Bible.
That's right.
The scriptures out, go to your Bible, look at it, and ask God, God, give me some revelation. Give me something that you want to see.
That's right.
Some more. It's always
hallelujah.
It never stops. God is a never-ending God.
That's
hallelujah.
Right.
And it never will stop. Revelation is going to continue to flow out of the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
And so hearing through this, you said focus. And to focus, we have to be first we got to be sanctified and set apart from this world.
Yeah.
We can't focus on God's word and be part of the world, too.
Can't
have it both ways.
That's right.
We got to make a
decision
that we're God's way and only his way. And that's called sanctification. Now I'm set apart for real.
Amen.
Because I've been gave up that foolishness. I don't have to with them folk anymore. I don't have to prove nothing to nobody. I just got to obey God.
That's right.
When we decide just to obey the commandments of God, like these friends were talking about, the commandments and the things that God has given us,
yes, Lord,
then we're truly sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
We're truly set apart, right?
Well, yes.
And so we're going to use what God give us.
Amen.
For the benefit of us and the people.
Thank you,
Jesus. Church, God's church. Because the devil's going to come. He's going to come. He's going to sit in church.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have pastors and leaders who's not going for it, who's not going to follow the devil, who's not going to allow themselves to be pulled in, to be snuffed in by his evil tricks, then that devil got to run. That devil got to go. Because he's going to come and he's going to try.
Oh, yes, yes,
but
yes.
The real church of God, he can't have his way, though. That's the thing. Because we're allowing God to have his way. But that devil's going to still try.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to all the churches down. That Jezebel spirit, it's a spirit. It's female and it's male. Some people say it's Jezebel, it's a woman. Oh, no. It's an evil spirit. It can come like a man or a woman. And remember, the spirit has no gender.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that.
Yes.
That's right. So it can come any kind of way. It can even come through a child, believe me.
That's right.
That's right.
The devil will use a young person too, a child.
Mm-hmm.
He will use anything. He'll use money, anything to come at you to destroy you, to destroy the God's church.
Yes,
when we say that we're going to stand on the word of God and do all to stand, that devil can't come in there and do what he want to do. And guess what? The apostles, prophets, and the people who are full of the Holy Spirit is going to see that devil.
Hallelujah.
They're going to see him and cast him out.
Yes.
That's right. That power of the deliverance of God, the power of God is in that church. That's God's church.
Mm-hmm.
And that devil cannot come and play. Oh, no, you can't come play in here.
Mm-mm.
You can't come and trick us. Because guess what? God then gave us the spirit of discernment, and you got to go.
That's right.
I don't care who it is. It could be somebody that's already you, and could be the devil.
That's the truth.
And when you see what they're doing, you got to go.
Amen.
Get out. You're talking to the spirit that's trying to use that person. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's true.
I plead the blood. We know we plead the blood. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, Apostle, I know what you're talking about. I know, but the thing I hear. We got to examine, like you said, what you said. Examine, and just stay close to God. And when we stay close to God, that devil can't come in your house and do what he wants. He can't do what he wants.
That's right.
No, indeed. And God got him on a leash. Oh, no, not that one. No, not that one. You're not going to destroy that one. But he's going to try because he's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to try all he can with all his evil might.
Yes, Lord.
To destroy the people of God. But it won't work.
Won't work.
Apostle, thank you. Thank you for that message. And, you know, it's a message that people don't want to hear. Some people don't want, don't be talking about Satan. I don't want to hear nothing about him. Well, he's moving in your life. You don't want to hear about him. But guess what? Guess what? You better listen. You know, because he will come and he will try with all his might to destroy. But I don't know about no Satan. Well, you tell them, well, you know, that's just the devil. Oh, why are you always saying it's the devil, the devil, the devil? He ain't got no power. Yes, he does.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
That's a mistake that people make.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
And when if they keep even that devil using them all the while, even when they say, don't be talking about the devil. Oh, he love it when they say that. That's why.
Glory.
Don't he love it? Oh,
yeah.
Don't be talking about no devil. I don't want to hear nothing about no devil. No, you don't want to hear it. That's why you're bound.
That's right.
One of his agents. All the while you're listening to the devil, and the devil having his way in your life. But you don't want to hear that. Oh, no, in other words, just talk about God. Yeah. Just talk about God. The devil talking to you, and you saying talk about God, but you're not following God because you're listening to the devil.
All right.
Lord have mercy. Thank you, Apostle.
Hallelujah.
I'm coming to preach today. I got
God
my turn.
God be the glory.
So God be the glory.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's all
God
right.
God be the glory, Apostle.
He can do what he wants. Whatever he tries, I laugh, Apostle, because that devil is stupid. He is crazy.
That's right. He's stupid.
Because he keep on. He was so stupid. That's how he got kicked out of heaven.
That's right.
It's a stupid thing to come against God. It's downright stupid. Come against God. You can't win. You can't box with him. You can't dance with him.
No.
You can't, none of that. You can't dance no devil dance with God. No, indeed.
You better believe it.
You can dance a horse dance, but you can't dance no devil dance with God.
God destroy
that devil. Put no devil and dance with God. No way. Hallelujah. So thank you, Apostle. You know your sister going to come with a big mouth. But anyway.
we do that. We do that all the time. You know, we do what we got to do for the kingdom. And that's all that matters.
Amen.
That's all that matters, you know.
That's all that matters.
I know some people going to get, and the Lord give me that, because some people going to get cut real hard. Okay? I'm telling you. Apostle, I'm already seeing it. Some people going to get cut real hard when they hear this message. You know, and they're in the church. In the church, you know. And they're going to get cut real hard because God is not playing.
It's true.
He's not playing.
Lord.
You know, a lot of people take it for granted when they hear Deacon Fred say God is not playing. But he's right. God is not playing. God let them go so far and then he put down the hammer. He let them go so far and then he put down the hammer. Look in the time with Noah. Look in the time with Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, for Abraham and Lot. You look and see. God let you go so far. But then he going to put the hammer down. And when he put the hammer down, it's called wrath. When he put the hammer down, a lot of people going to die. A lot of people going to die.
Amen.
Because they reject him and they reject his word. You know.
And mercy.
Yes, that post on Facebook. I don't know if you see that post yesterday because you don't go on Facebook like I do. But Lord says that America is not suffering. He said me yesterday, he said, America is not suffering because of the global warming. He said America is suffering. He's not suffering from the wildfires, the plague, the murdering. He said it's not suffering from any type of virus. America is suffering because they rejected Yahweh and they rejected his word. That's why America is suffering.
Amen.
I told you that yesterday, and I posted on Facebook. There's more plagues coming. There's more plagues coming, too. This virus is not the last one. There's more plagues coming. And the mask is not going to save you. You hear what I'm telling you? The mask is not going to save you. You know what's going to save you? You got to get underneath the blood of Jesus. You have to get underneath the blood of Jesus. The blood has to be on the doorpost of your heart.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Not on the building. They had it on the building back in Exodus, but he's not looking for the blood on the building now. He was looking for the blood on your heart.
Come on now. Come on.
And when the deaf angels see that blood, it's gonna have to pass on. The virus is not gonna be able to penetrate your body because the blood. I don't know yet. Glory to God. The blood covering the doorposts of your heart. The virus can't enter. Mm-mm. Cannot enter.
My.
Watch my words. You're gonna see. There's another one coming, much worse than this variant. Much worse than the variant. Mm-hmm. It's already in progress. Hear what I'm telling you? It's already in progress.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
They tell you know how many. They already tell you how many millions of kids and grown-ups going to die. They're already telling you.
That's right.
But I said, I will not die till God called me home. I will not die unless God called me home because I got work to do for the kingdom.
That's right. That's right.
We are covered in the blood, and you got to claim what you know you have. Speak what you have. Don't get afraid. Don't let them get you afraid. Say, "Well, I can't go." No, you can still wear your mask, but the mask is not your saving power. It's not your saving power. Your saving power is the blood that was shed at Calvary.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You wear your mask because you're honoring the audience, the ordinance of the country, of the nation. You're honoring the ordinance of the country, but that's not your saving or your protection. Because they're going to set the setting up this mask thing now in a way that if you don't get the mask, you're going to get arrested if you don't wear your mask. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you got to wear your mask so you're honoring the laws of the land. But let me tell you, that's not our protection. Our protection is the blood that was shed at Calvary. That's our protection.
That's so true.
I'm telling you what I know.
Mm-mm.
When all the plagues were passed through Egypt, what did God say? Moses tell the people put the blood on the doorposts of the house, on the lintels. Linton and the doorpost. When the death angels see the blood, it'll pass over. But God is not looking for the blood on the doorpost of a building now. The blood has to be on your heart. How does the blood get on your heart? When you live holy, when you live righteous. That's how the blood get on your heart. You hear what I tell you? That's how the blood gets on your heart. Now somebody might hear the message, well, how are we going to get the blood of Jesus on our heart? Well, live holy. That's how the blood gets on your heart.
I know it.
Live holy.
Mm.
It's not hard to live holy. You just got to make a decision. Some people say, it's not hard. Just make a decision. Just make a decision. This is the way I'm going to live.
That's the truth.
The Holy Spirit will do the rest. He'll do the rest. And the line is open for anyone that wants to encourage or say a word of prayer. You can come on in. Still a lot of people on the line. If nobody wants to say anything, we have the apostle pray us out. Because God has already spoken. Okay, Apostle, go ahead and pray us out. Thank you so much.
You want me?
Yes, Apostle.
Okay, thank you. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. One more time to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father,
thank you,
for your spirit of guiding today. Thank you, Lord, for using our apostle today to break your word down. So a fool cannot err. Thank you, Jesus. And I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that whosoever heard this word today, harden not your heart. Give your heart to God. Hallelujah. And we thank the Lord most of all for salvation. Hallelujah. And
yes, Lord.
As we from this line, we'll never depart from you. Hallelujah. Because you say and you and Lord, we just love that relationship that we have
with you and ourselves. And I know every true believer can say that today. Father, I ask in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because every soul has already been covered. I speak it by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, all they do, you have to reach out and take hold.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
But they reach out.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Amen. Apostle. We thank God for you. Just remember that
Amen.
God loves you. Remember
thank
that
you,
I love you all, but God loves you more.
Lord.
Just remember that.
Amen.
He loves us more. Have a blessed evening. I shall talk to you all later. The Lord say the same. Get some rest.
Amen.
As I will get a little nap to myself. I will dream a little bit. So God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I sent you a text earlier today to Apostle. You see it?
No, I looked for a text this morning.
I sent you a text a little while ago on that new phone number.
Okay, I'll check it.
Okay.
All right, Apostle.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's the number.